miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're talking, we're talking with two real experts on about Lou Gehrig disease. They're from the Weinberg Center from Thomas Jefferson University. Mike Jablonski is the lead author of a paper that has a real breakthrough in it, and co-author and with him from the Weinberg Center is Piera Passanelli. She's also director, in addition to co-director of the Weinberg Unit for ALS Research at Thomas Jefferson University, and co-director of the graduate program in neuroscience there, is also scientific director of the Robert Packard Center for ALS Research at Johns Hopkins. So she commutes back and forth, I suppose, from Philadelphia to Baltimore, not a long commute on the train. But tell me, when we were starting, Piera, we were ending the last segment, you were talking about why this has relevance, why this new mechanism, which is found to transport the drug or to increase transport of the drug out of the neurons it's supposed to help, just like it transports heavy metals out or toxins out, why this is important for other diseases as well, or other neurodegenerative diseases?
Yes, so because this is a mechanism that is not specific for ALS, and in fact, it is a mechanism that has been very widely studied in other diseases. Cancer is, I think, the lead example. Leukemia, some forms of epilepsy, for instance, which is a subset of epilepsy patients who do not respond to drug, and it turns out that they not respond to drug because they have, again, like we found in ALS, an increase in function and expression at the level of the blood-brain barrier of these transporters. So this is really something that we in the ALS field learn from other diseases and apply to the ALS field, where this phenomenon was surprisingly underestimated and understudied. So why this is applicable to other diseases? Because, again, so we have in our body this defense mechanism, as Michael was saying earlier. So we have these drug efflux transporters at the level of the blood-brain barrier, which really defends the brain from foreign toxins and metals, as you said. They are, as I say, not so smart, and they are not specific in their recognition of what is beneficial, like a drug, or what is detrimental, like a toxin. And so this is really not universal only to ALS. What I think is important to say is that while this is a phenomenon that is really well characterized and recognized mainly by pharmaceutical companies, that when they want to develop a drug, they have to be able to know whether a drug reaches the target and crosses the blood-brain barrier and does what it is supposed to do. So they know, the pharmaceutical company, and we in study biology and study diseases know that one of the impediments to really reach the target is the pharmaceutical target is are these transporters. So normally new drugs that are developed are tested whether they are a substrate of these transporters. Our paper shows that rather than testing them, as it has been done so far, in normal individual, not disease individual, I think we should test the drugs, our paper shows that we should test the drugs in the context of the disease and during the disease progression. Because Michael found is that, for instance, for the ALS mouse, which is what we have been studied, if we were to deliver drugs before the mice get sick, before disease onset, the drug will go in. And the drug will do what it is supposed to do because these drug efflux transporters didn't kick in yet.
The transporter out, Piera, really doesn't kick into maximum function or even any function
until
the disease is evident.
Until the disease is in full swing, I will say. And so if we were to give a drug like Riluzole, for instance, like we did for ALS, Riluzole is the only FDA-approved drug for ALS. Riluzole is constantly working, is the only drug that works in the patient, but its effect is very marginal. And so if we were to give Riluzole before the mice get sick, what we found is that Riluzole goes in because the transporter didn't start working completely yet and they didn't pump it out.
Let's talk about human disease now. So
right.
in humans, the ALS symptoms usually become pretty severe fairly quickly.
Right.
Will that give us enough time to treat this or to try treatment with this? Will there be enough, in fact, even people with this, with early symptoms, to make this treatment potential? Or do we just learn from this about other ways of blocking the transport out?
So we don't know. But what we know, for instance, again, taking Riluzole as an example, you're absolutely right. ALS progresses very, very rapidly. But what we know with Riluzole is that in the first year of treatment, usually patients get Riluzole the moment they come to the clinic and they receive a definite diagnosis of ALS. So what we know is that Riluzole is highly effective in patients in the first 12 months of treatment, reducing mortality in public studies by about 38%. What we know also is that initial efficacy is reduced dramatically starting from the second year of treatment, from 38 to 19, about 19%. Now, we don't know if this dramatic decrease is due in patients to an increase in function of these efflux transporters, and this is something that we are now studying, but we think that our mouse studies lead towards this idea. So if we were to be able to block these drug efflux transporters from the get-go, from the time the patients receive the first treatment, whether it is Riluzole or something else, in the first year, maybe we will be able to delay this pumping out, which dramatically increased in the second year of treatment.
Excellent. And I want to thank you very much for participating with us. We've been talking to Piera Passanelli and Michael Jablonski about ALS and about this new mechanism, this really breakthrough treatment that they've found from the Weinberg Center at Thomas Jefferson University, and why this is important for other diseases. This is a mechanism that maybe earlier treatment will be able to help reverse. It's just promise, but it is great promise.
Green light. Hey girl, school zone. I'm getting hungry. Car changing lanes. You want to meet me for pizza? Stop sign. Intersection clear. Yeah, street. Pizza sounds good. Ball in street? Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text, stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It sounds disgusting, but the average person has 160 varieties, 100 trillion bacteria in their GI tract. Some bacteria are beneficial, many are not. Undesirable bacteria can leave you feeling tired and sluggish and bloated. A simple solution, Natron's Healthy Trinity. You've heard of Healthy Trinity. It's the premier probiotic that's been helping millions of people with digestive problems for over 20 years. This powerful probiotic can help optimize digestion, promote healthy immune, colon, and liver function. And with a healthy digestive system, you'll gain focus and energy, and you'll feel so much better. Here's a special offer, 20% off a 3-month supply of Healthy Trinity. This is a limited-time offer with a money-back guarantee. Get 20% off right now. Call 866-4-NATRON or go to natron.com. Enter promo code RADIOMD for the discount. Don't miss a single day without taking your Healthy Trinity. Natron.com.